welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast.com. This week we're talking about the second album from Oakland trio Fake Fruit. It's their first release for Car Park Records, which is home of the Beths. The album is called Mucho Mistrust, and it starts with a song called See It That Way. Became aware of Fake Fruit because they were getting played on BFF.fm, our amazing community radio station that runs this show and has a lot of local music. And they're being from Oakland, I always pay more attention to local bands. And then we saw them perform in South by Southwest at the Pace Day Party in 2022. And they didn't make a huge impression on us at the time, but I heard this album and it really seemed like a leap forward, and there's just so much variety, and it was very interesting.
Yeah, I think that they put out that first record in 2021, and it was, you know, given the timing, a pandemic record, you know, written and recorded when things were still kind of locked down. And I think the band has said that this is the front woman, Hannah D'Amato, who goes by Ham as her nickname, which is pretty awesome. And that it was pretty much, she wrote everything and it was very much more of a solo effort, whereas this was much more collaboratively written with her, as well as Alex Post on guitar and Miles McDermott on drums.
And it was recorded live at Atomic Garden Studios in Oakland. So, you know, a more energetic live recording effort.
Yeah, and they'd also, I guess, relatively late in the game, ended up with this producer, Jack Shirley, who's worked on, I think probably the highest profile band is Deaf Heaven, but also has worked heavily with Pardoner, which we've done on the show, as well as Pardoner. Jeff Rosenstock. Pardoner, yes. Another Bay Area band.
Yes.
But they just have such a great sound here. And it really is, you know, I think also in their defense at that showcase, that those parties were so incredibly packed with amazing bands that it was a little hard to stand out. Yeah. But also, I think they've grown into the sound. And I think here, this is a completely blistering intro. It's under 2 minutes. It is just first chorus, done. It just gets to the business. And, or it's not even that, it's verse, chorus. It's like, we don't have time for two choruses.
But it starts out with such fast punk energy and really fast percussion and guitar playing. And it really, like, bursts out of the gate, and it sets the tone for what you think is going to be kind of like a punk sound, but there's so much more variety than you would expect.
Yeah, and I think even in this short song, you're getting the sense of like, oh, they're kind of getting into some serious material, because just lyrically it's about like sort of looking at someone who's like, oh, I'm very self-centered, and you know, the world, I'm fine, so the world must be fine. And mm-hmm. So it's a nice, just like, the I don't see it that way is like, nope, you just, I, the world is real, face up to it. So I think it's they're in their own way getting political right from the bat.
You're hearing the sounds of a greyhound puppy who is very annoyed that we're not paying attention to her. She is not in pain or injured at all. Anyway, we'll go on to the next song. It's the title track, Mucho Mistrust.
Wishing that there was a way for me to surgically stay, a sign right through my heart. Flashing neon dawn, fishing, proceed with caution. Do not enter passive care, not for sale by everywhere. Rutherford getting out of office, wrong way detour, railroad crossing, hot price clearance, no passing private property. Horse crossing, buy one, get one, we buy gold, live, new, girls, 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 construction, liquidation, grand reopening, grand reopening, grand reopening, everything. Yeah.
this song, to me, I'm sold on the record at this point. I think the first song is so quick and I'm just like, wait, what just happened? And this one slows down just a tiny bit and it becomes a little catchier and funny. Like that it is this, you know, this sort of, I am upset and kind of at a loss and feeling kind of, I don't even know. And then this idea of I'm going to put a sign that says gone fishing. And then it's just, instead of being done there, just rattling off other signs, and it gets increasingly deranged until you get to the grand reopening, reopening. Just, it's so weird and silly and awesome.
Yeah, D'Amato has said that after their first record, she left a bad relationship and entered a more stable and loving one. And so I think there's a lot of reflection on bad relationships. And this song is the most direct about that.
Yeah. And even as it's so direct and so funny, and it's just the sound of it is so cool. Like the production, I mean, it feels very recorded live, but then they're just going sort of unfashionably, I feel like, in this day and age of extreme stereo separations, where as far as I can tell, the two guitars are just seem to be slammed all the way right and all the way left, which you really notice listening on good headphones. And then I'm pretty sure the lead guitarist, Alex Post, is doing a lot of reverse strumming, starting from high to low. And it really, combined with whatever pedals they're using, it gives it this very kind of spacey and off-putting, but also catchy
feel.
Well,
I think it's also, there's two guitars that are slightly out of sync, and that makes it sound a little bit dissonant.
Yeah, it's, even when they're being melodic, it never quite feels settled. There's always a little feeling of like, I'm not relaxing into this record, even as I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. So the next song we'll play is Gotta Meet You. Unhinged Sax is by Judith Horn, and it brings such a chaotic feel to this song, which sounds to me about like stalking someone.
Oh, it's definitely a stalker song. And I love that the sax has that energy, and the vocals are so unhinged.
And the percussion too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's really astounding. And I think it's just amazing the range display just on these first few songs, where it's hyper energetic punk and then almost like poppy rock, where the vocals kind of are reminiscent of Courtney Barnett, I feel like, on that second track.
A lot of speak singing.
Yeah, that, but it's like very kind of like low-key and understated, and then here the vocals are the opposite of understated. They are just maxed out the intensity, and perfect again for someone who's like, no, come on. And just that energy is so crazy.
A song that's sort of told from the perspective of a stalker.
Oh yeah. But it's also hilarious, and being able to manage the anarchy of these percussion, weird cowbells just coming in at all times, and these sax riffs that get more and more deranged, and her just almost like chirping, woohoo! And yet the song, it feels like the entire thing should just like spin all out of control. Like the pieces are about to fly off, and yet they somehow land the plane. Like they the song works and it shouldn't. And I love this. Like, as much as Mucho Mistrust might be the better song, this just charms
me. Ranking songs.
It's accessible and well structured really and thematically, but this song is just off the rails in a way I can't help but love.
Well, and I like the way that they sequence these songs so that you, in the first three tracks, you get this range of kind of everything that comes in the rest of the album.
Yeah, and it's really, I feel like the first half of the record is in a certain groove, though. It's all like high energy and very kind of punk rock with a lot of swagger and
sort of the post-punk like speak singing vocals. Like I think they toured with Dry Cleaning, which was a good pairing.
Yeah, and I think Hum D'Amato is the only vocalist on this first half of the record, and we actually come to that with she grew up, I think, in a Latina family and speaks Spanish well, and so there's a little bit of Spanish lyrics on the next track we'll play. It's called Más o Menos,
which means more or less.
Very glad that the record has such a just brutal breakup song. So just the dripping with sarcasm that like, oh, I hope you had a good time on your sympathy tour. And then just unleashing that Spanish language of don't talk to me. I'm not going to listen. And it is just, I'm done.
Yeah.
You put me through hell, but I'm done with it.
And it's got the whipsaw guitars that really drive the song along, and the percussion on all these songs is so energetic and fun.
Yeah, here some of the songs it really calls attention to itself. I think here it's a little more straightforward, but still very propulsive. But the fact guitar comes and goes and has these just ramps up and then cuts out for brief moments. You just are never at ease, and you shouldn't be, because you do not want this woman to be angry at you. At least. Yeah, I think someone made a huge mistake of crossing her.
So the next song turns in a totally different direction, and it's called Long Island Iced Tea. What is much more traditional indie rock sound territory. And I like that this is bringing in male vocals, which adds a little bit of spice.
Yeah, Alex Post has such a different kind of vibe, and it feels very much, even though I think instrumentally it's still in this kind of post-punk direction, but he seems so much in like this new wave kind of energy, where it's like little bits of, you know, where he's kind of going, and it's almost like a Fred Schneider sound.
Yeah.
And then in that chorus where it's so kind of, I don't know, like round and warm and smooth. And it's like, it's almost like a David Byrne kind of sound. And so these different kind of, you know, going back to the 80s in this way that's really appealing.
Well, and the I don't know what you call that technique, but going up and down the guitar, And I'm not going to try and sing it, but that has a really nice kind of lulling rhythm to it that I think makes the song very inviting.
Yeah, and this is one where it feels less kind of immediately about sort of political or personal stuff, and it seems much more of just kind of a general, I don't know, the world is kind of hard, and I feel like I'm kind of losing my ability to deal with it. And of course, Long Island iced tea, famously a drink that improves your ability to deal with things.
And you can imagine sunken cost fallacy is presumably somebody who wants to stay in the relationship because they've already put all this time into it. But it could mean a lot of things.
Yeah, I know. I love that this song feels, yeah, more
abstract,
open. Yeah.
But also, you know, just you get the idea of two people who are at very different states of mind.
Yeah, and there is that just, yeah, there's a lot of stuff about having a thought that can't be unthought, and that notion of like, oh, someone like, oh no, I guess this is not working and I can't stop thinking that. And it's just like, oh, there is that feeling of kind of precarity here, even as it kind of is this kind of warm, almost tropical party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun going on here. And I think it kind of, for me, introduces this sort of second act of the record, where I feel like really it's 12 tracks, and the first six I think are squarely in a certain vein, and then we have this shift up where the male vocals come forward and it sounds very different, and thematically it feels very different, and that I think continues on to the next track we'll play. It's called Venetian Blinds.
Ulcer, vomit, wake up every morning, drags me out of my bed.
Second section is actually pretty brief. It's just these two songs, but we get this kind of breather and this new wave energy that does not let up with these just kind of wavering vocals and very bouncy, the bouncy guitar sections and really great little synth noise bits that come in.
And the vocals that just keep building and building and building without even feeling like he's taking a breath.
Yeah, it's so breathless. And another one to me feels kind of abstract and just sort of this general feeling of like, I can't deal with the world. And mm-hmm. his voice captures that so well. And it is another reminder, though, that, you know, both, you know, Alex Post and Ham D'Amato, really solid guitars. Just these, they are really good guitarists. Mm-hmm. And it sounds amazing in so many different styles.
Yeah. And a very different style is the next song that we'll play, which is called Ponies.
Basket. I'm the pony.
like this is D'Amato's most melodic singing on the record, and it's really interesting to hear her stretch her voice in such new directions.
Yeah, I describe this as this last section of the record is where it becomes a more contemplative and prettier record, which is funny, of course, because it's still weird and discordant, and especially how you have these guitars that start off as sort of like a 90s low-key art punk, but then the choruses get huge and noisy and almost shoegazy at points. And so there's still some variety here, but it all comes back to her just with this wistful and really sad, just, mm-hmm. I'm going to win big. Don't worry, I'll deal you in when I win big. And just this sort of look at kind of hopeful delusion that is really, it's sad and pretty and heartbreaking, but it's a song that gets to me in spite of itself.
And the toms forward on the drums makes it feel almost like a heartbeat, or it has like kind of a warm feeling to it.
Yeah, the drums are just, yeah, very pull you in. And so it has this, it starts with these drums kind of pulling you in, and then this guitar is being jangly, and then a wall of sound. And yeah, it gets really cool on all sides.
So the next song we'll play is one of, I think what they have said is one of their favorite songs on the record. It's called Cause of Death.
Was I mocked and lighted, or lifelong indicted? Whatever it was it required? Make up my mind for the life of me. If you're a beacon of joy or despise me, guide me on this good flex.
This song is so, it has these bits that are, I'm taking notes. I'm just like jangly, where it's like weird kunk, kunk, kunk percussion, and the sax comes back delightfully. And it's got this great unease.
Backing vocals too.
And yeah. Well, I love this, that we hear that verse chorus, and the chorus has the backing vocals. And then we kind of hear that next chorus where we have both the backing vocals and the sax, and it just creates such this rich sound. And yet it's also, for all of that warmth and inviting sound, it is uneasy that the tempo keeps changing. So it's like it speeds up, slows down, and then slows down more. And so you never quite know where you stand. And in this great song about indecision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love all of the elements that kind of come together here at the end of the album and really set up this band for, you know, it makes me excited about what they're going to do next, because I feel like there were 3 years between the first and second albums, but their sound really evolved, and I'm really impressed with how far they've come. And so I feel like this song and the journey it takes and all of the elements coming together in such a satisfying way, it really makes me, you know, you can see how the evolution of the band has happened and how this sets them up for success on the next record.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And, you know, I think this is a 12-track album coming in at under 40 minutes, because most of the songs are really short. Mm-hmm. Although, again, the end of this album tends towards longer songs that are more, have more room for prettiness. And I maybe have a bias towards liking the ones that are so punchy at the front, but the album is a great album because it has all of these different sounds, and it has this, and it takes you on this arc, and it starts from this incredibly frenetic unease through this kind of weird meditative interlude into these bigger, more expansive, not quite at ease, but at least, yeah, moving in a direction of some kind of like, oh, maybe I'm getting my act together. Maybe I'm figuring this out. And I know that Ham D'Amato has talked about like, oh, you know, I think she's about to turn 30. And it's like, I know for a lot of people, that's kind of a, do I have my act together? Have I figured my life out? And, you know, on this record, I think like, yeah, maybe she is.
So the last song that we're going to play is called Too Soon. And it puts a nice little button on the end of the album. I think that, again, this is sequenced really well. I think it takes us on an emotional journey. So we're going to go out with that. We'll mention that Fake Fruit are going to be playing at the Chapel on November 22nd. So there should still be time to see them, depending on when you hear this. And we've been discussing the album Mucho Mistrust, which, by the way, is a Blondie reference if you didn't catch it. From Heart of Glass. And this is the second album from Fake Fruit. Thanks so much for listening.
I tried my best to meet you halfway, but my head was cloudy that whole day.
Proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.